Hashem Shir Sunday afternoon, the 12th Shir of Hashem, 4th Shir of Lukas, Tes Mar Cheshvan, October 29th. We're in section 1, paragraph 3, the end of paragraph 11. Okay, put it on.
We don't know what to do.
And we're in section 1, paragraph 3, the end of paragraph 11. He's describing the spiritual biology of what happens in the neshama after the Chet of Adam Arishon. Things markedly changed. Again, the end of paragraph 11, and he explained that if the Chet of Adam Arishon did a lot of things, had many, many ramifications, but consequences, it wasn't equally balanced anymore between the guf and the rama. The guf itself became inherently seed and would need misa and decomposition in order to ultimately be rendered a spiritual entity by the neshama, which is the goal, and that will happen after tchias ha-mesim. So we'll learn this very last, if you have the very last paragraph before paragraph 12. So the guf goes into the adama, ki ofer ato vel ofer tashuv. Vinei kolz manahu tishkona hana. So where's the neshama now? So the neshama is in a waiting station. We call olam haba, you can call it olam hanashamos, but it's temporary. The ultimate goal is to reunite with the guf and spiritualize the guf and render it spiritual. Let's see what the person accomplished in this world, of course. We're not talking about this is what a person is doing in this world. Every mitzvah you do energizes the neshama, gives the neshama that koach of being. First of all, it energizes the neshama itself. The neshama is also in a guf. The neshama is in the mud. So you're cleaning off the neshama. Every mitzvah, every refraining from an avera is a point of light. And you're also giving it the koach to spiritually energize the guf. But meanwhile, the guf has to decompose. So, that's also a thing. You know, before the Marishon's Chet, it happened. Every time you did a mitzvah, the person, like you see by Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, we don't know exactly what happened, but his face shone. So you see the neshama can have an effect on the guf. His face actually shone a light from Hashem. V'nei kolz manahu, during misa, while the guf is decomposing, tishkona, they reside. Haneshama sain, b'mayla u'batainug, they're asking in the glory of Hashem, they're bonding with Hashem. May aim similar, mashiyinosum lehem acharkach. This is not the ultimate, because he'll explain later that when the neshama is at its peak function, meaning it's spiritualizing the guf, so that itself adds luster to the neshama, because he'll explain, because the neshama is reaching its goal, the neshama is reaching its tachlis, the neshama is reaching its purpose. It's not happening until tchias ha-mesim, the ultimate purpose. So meanwhile, the neshama enjoying ziv hashchina, which we don't know, some sort of spiritual pleasure, being similar to mash the gemul zman, the ultimate goal shel zacharnu l'mala. And nothing is a freebie. Everything is based on you, based on of polishing the neshama and giving the neshama luster, giving the neshama light. And this is every mitzvah, every refraining from an avera. Even whatever quality they're going to have in the Olam HaNeshamos, in that waiting station, it's not everybody's on the same madrega. It's based on what they did in this world. That will be the measure of measuring the ultimate reward. So that what you did in this world determines the reward in the temporary waiting station, and it determines the reward in the ultimate reward. Again, the reward meaning the shining of the neshama, it bonding with Hashem, it losing the mud, like you're doing a laundry. You're getting rid of the mud of the guf, you're getting rid of the mud of Olam Hazeh, you're getting rid of the mud of Chumrius, and so you're doing it potentially when you do a mitzvah in this world. It has its effect. We don't feel it here. Maybe sometimes we do a little, but the real effect is felt in Olam HaNeshamos, and certainly in the ultimate Gemul. And that's how it's measured. Like, he's talking as if everybody's going to be the same, but that's very much not the case. Everybody will have what they have based on what they did in this world. Hayom la'asosun u'mocher l'kabul scharon. He's not negating the whole Torah. That the whole Torah is about that. This is the Torah. These are the mitzvahs. This is what you have to do. He's giving you the spiritual biology behind it. It's not as simple and as superficial. He gets a star on the wall, and if he gets enough stars, he gets a toy prize. What's going on is that the neshama is sullied in Olam Hazeh, and every mitzvah you do cleans it off, and it's able to bond with Hashem in its spirituality. And the ultimate power of the neshama is when it spiritualizes the guf, but that has to wait till Tchias HaMesim. Because the guf, because of what Adam HaRishon did, the guf has to first decompose and lose its chumrius that Adam HaRishon, unfortunately, because of that ched, it became inherent in the guf. Before the ched, it would have happened every time he did a mitzvah, it would have had its effect upon the guf. Achashlemus v'amiti hamu'utad, which is in the future, lozochim lo, lo yasi guhu, they won't reach it. Lo haguf, lo haneshama, ela b'hischabram shenis, till they bond together, achar atchia. If the tchia is amazing. So, the guf is where it is, and the neshama is where it is, and we're waiting for tchia is amazing. Paragraph Yud Beis, he goes further into, like, again, the biology class in spirituality. He's saying in paragraph 12, he's saying it's a little more complicated and a little more subtle than just the neshama sitting around twiddling its thumbs, waiting. And meanwhile, it's in a great place. You know, it's a temporary. It's a stopover. You're not at the ultimate goal yet. It's only a stopover. Stopover is very good. You're in the King David Lounge. It's very good. It's very geschmack. So you're saying it's more complicated. Is like they have in the airport's taka. The neshama is plugged in, and the neshama also is being energized. It's plugged into to recharge your phone, to recharge your computer, and it's plugged in, and it's getting recharged. Why does it have to be recharged? So he explains, because the neshama in this world bumps up against, he says, this is a very big yisod. Again, it's Musar also. He says, when you don't accomplish your goal, that's a bad thing. That's a problem. So the neshama in this world can't accomplish what it was created for, which is to spiritually energize the guf. of course, the chetavod the marisha. So it itself loses something because it can't. A, he says two svaras. He's going to say in Beis. He says A, it's not accomplishing its goal, so that's always bad. It hasn't accomplished its goal, so while it's waiting, it's getting a tune up. It's getting energized. It's getting a tune up. And B, he gets even more specific. Why is that a goal? Because just like we said, Hashem's purpose in creating the world was to bestow goodness on others, and that's the nature of Tov, is to be mative to others. So the neshama is patterned, the neshama which is a chelek aloka mimal, is patterned that way too. So it's not just so it's not just the neshama is not doing what it's supposed to do, but it also didn't bestow its spirituality onto the guf because it was blocked because of the guf's nature after the chetav of the marishon. So that's also a problem. It's a problem of achieving its purpose, and a problem of the purpose specifically being, we'll call it being mative, doing for others, because it's doing for the guf. Let's see an insight now. Besides that, it's the waiting station, to sit and wait. It's waiting for the guf, meaning it's waiting for tchias amesim. Kemoshes acharnu, hine ol toelas gedola nimtzus bo l'neshamas asmon. The neshamas are benefiting greatly. They're not just sitting twiddling their thumbs. And the mela v'achrayim leguf, they're being energized, they're plugged in, they're plugged in. So they're being energized. Like your phone is a little low, so maybe you don't hear so well, or maybe it doesn't pick up so well. So the neshamas are going back to full strength, and then that will in turn impact the guf at tchias amesim. Why? What is the problem? What did the neshama do wrong? Why does it need to be? Why does it have to be plugged in to be energized? It didn't do anything wrong. We're talking whatever its madrega happens to be. It might have done a lot wrong, but we're talking the good. We're talking the amount of light it has been kone in Olam Hazeh. Once that was the Gezar Din from Hashem, that he won't reach the goal but he's supposed to reach until after death and Tchias HaMesim, afal pi shekvar nirlo mitzad ma'asov odenu chai, even though while he was living he did all those good deeds that will create that spiritual energy, because that only happens in this world. It's going to be very frustrating when a person's in the next world and then he wants to do so many mitzvahs and he wants to be good and he wants to have another chance, and it's not everything is in this world. This is the place where you have to do everything. This is the only place, and this affects us forever and ever and ever, and this is part of the human condition, that we are here for a limited amount of years, but it's only a prozdor, but it's also the only place where you could clean the neshama off of its dirt, of its mud.
Rabbi?
Yes.
The Rabbi mentioned that it's being energized, but my previous teaching was that it's a time when it's the payoff time, when and the
Neshama
is being punished for all the bad deeds that they
do. Talk about punishment. He's very optimistic. He's only talking about how much he's nene mitzuv hashchina. The punishment is that it's only till here and not more. That's enough of a punishment. It's frustrated. It wants to do more.
And what happens if you hand him and all that?
Yeah, he's not talking about that yet. We'll learn more later in the Sefer. He's talking about people who are not going to Gehenim. Gehenim is to help the neshama. Gehenim is already ganz good. Gehenim is to help people scrub the mud off the neshama. So the the Yisurim of Gehenim help, but you have to be Zocha to Gehenim. It sounds funny because some people don't make it to Gehenim even. You have to make it to Gehenim. The Gehenim is just, it's a side point right now. Right now we're talking about the basic biology of the Neshama and the Guf. The basic biology is that the Neshama shines. Sometimes it needs the help called Gehenim, which helps. You know, sometimes when you need power brakes, you need power steering, so you need Gehenim to help the Neshama shine. But right now, it's a side point. Let's get back to what he's talking about. He says, don't think that the Olam HaNeshamos is just, it's sitting there waiting, doing nothing. There is a big toelos for the Neshamos there, to the degree that the Neshamos, again, every time you do a mitzvah and you refrain from an avera, you're cleaning off a little mud. Every time you do an avera, chas v'shalom, so you're throwing on more mud, or you're affirming the mud that's there on the guf. Everything happened already. The neshama is ready to roll. The neshama is ready to spiritualize the guf, because everything has to happen only during a person's lifetime. There's no. So why didn't it happen yet? Because the guf's not ready for it, but the neshama had to do it already. Because nothing happens after death. Before death, so what is the benefit to the neshama in the olam haneshamos if it did already everything it was supposed to do, or to whatever degree it did what it was supposed to do, and it's too late now to do anything else? So it had to do everything that it's going to. It had to do everything that will allow it to do whatever it's going to do after Tchias HaMeisim. So what possible benefit could be happening in the Olam HaNeshamos? He's asking himself. He's telling you, don't think it's just sitting around waiting. There's something positive going on. I said that it's being re-energized, but he's asking, so what's re-energized? If it did everything, it did X amount of, or it did X amount of mitzvahs, so he says, because another ramification of the gzeira of the Adam HaRishon is chet, shanashama kozman hayosu beguf olam hazeh shaharad dovuk bo sheyefer sheyipored mimenu legamri tiyagami chashukha v'amuma. The neshama is also dimmer. The fact that it's connected with this guf that's now inherently muddied, so that has an effect on the neshama in this world. It's dim. Think of it as dim. You want to be light. You want to have light. You want to hear. And it's dim because it's a connection to the guf. Even though you did good deeds in your lifetime, so you did whatever light you did, but right, it can't have its effect yet because you're waiting for Tchias HaMeisim. It can't shine the way it's going to shine after Tchias HaMeisim because there's a problem. The problem, the guf can't take it now. So it's sitting there with potential, but it's not shining. It's all potential. It's all kovush. It's all squeezed in. Ad hazman shimasin li golos, until it bursts forth. But it's not because of it. It didn't do anything wrong. So the neshama loses out, and the guf loses out. The guf loses out because it can't be purified and spiritually energized because it it's not the right time. It has to wait for Tchias HaMeisim when the guf underwent whatever it undergoes in the kever. And the neshama is not doing its thing. The neshama is blocked. And that is a problem. The neshama is blocked. So even though it's there potentially, but it's still blocked, Shoyikabel Koloso Zman HaZikuch, the purity, Shoyiroi Shoyikabel, Moshe Zachainu. Omnam Gavimav said this, the neshama also is losing out. Till now he said the guf is losing out because it's not being purified by the neshama. But the neshama is losing out. She kavusha ba'atzma, because it's squashed down. It's like in a box. And you're not allowed to take it out. Do not open till the birthday. So it's not giving off light. It's not giving its light. It's not spreading its light. It's not spreading the ruchnius to the guf. So it's the old chain of poelos apula haruila, and so it's not accomplishing its goal. It's a very, very deep idea. He's saying, listen, the neshama is losing out because it's not doing what it's supposed to do, even though it's not its fault. It's like you're saying, Rebbe is a fantastic Rebbe, but he doesn't have a good class. He has no one to teach. The class are not listening to him. So that's bad for the Rebbe. He's not able to do what he wants to do. He's not able to give. He's not able to accomplish his purpose in being a Rebbe, even though he's fantastic and it's not his fault. But he has no one to teach. The class is not... He's ready to be Mashpia, but there's no one to be Mekabel the Hashpa. So he's... That is a problem. He's not able to do what he was meant to do. Vilu hoisa poelos hoisa, if it would be able to do it, hoisa mishtalemus b'zeh shleimus gadol, the neshama would reach its shleimus. When you do the... When you accomplish your purpose for which you were created, that in itself is a shleimus. That's a shleimus. And if you can't do it, you're accomplished, even if it's not your fault, but you're not reaching shleimus. Shleimus is to do what you were meant to do. Mitzad mehusa pula atzma. And then he goes even further, and he says, Shrei pula shleimus, first of all, it's not doing what it's meant to do. And also, the pula shleimus is to be meitiv u'mashmim zulaso. It's like Hashem. The ultimate good, the ultimate power of the neshama is to do for the guf, to be native to the guf. So, first of all, the problem in the neshama, even though it's not its fault. So let's go back to the mashal of the Rebbe. First of all, the Rebbe is not doing what he was hired for, because he doesn't have a class that's ready to be mekabel. And also, part of the quality of being a Rebbe is to teach Torah, and he's not teaching Torah. And not only is he not the Suchas Reimus, saying the Ramchal. One is that he's not doing what he was meant to do. That could be true about a bricklayer also. That could be true about anybody that is sent, is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. But here, it's even further. He's supposed to be like Hashem. He's supposed to be native to the guf. He's supposed to be mazhir on the guf, just like Hashem bestows upon us. So the neshama is supposed to bestow upon the guf, and it's not doing it. That's the second thing. Those are the two ideas, he says. First of all, it's supposed to be doing that, and second of all, it's supposed to be doing something akin to Hashem, being native, shalakach notra. B'chol nivra, every created being, even though it's a side point, but it's very good musr. B'chol nivra mishtalem reaches shleimus. Kishapoel, when it does, mashachokak lo boro yuzborach shmo sheyipal, when it accomplishes what it's supposed to be doing in the world. So the neshama has a problem, has two, one problem, but it has two sides to it. V'chosam mishleimus kol zman shelo yifalu. So this is, again, this is like biology, spiritual biology. Even though the neshama did whatever it did X amount of mitzvahs, refrained from Y amount of averus, it shined and cleaned off your window, you want to clean your window for Pesach, it shined off the window, and now the sun is ready to shine through the window, and it cleaned it off to whatever degree it did. So now, so till now, you say, okay, it has to wait. It has to wait, it has to just sit around waiting, like I said, like the stopover, and you're just waiting on the, and you're waiting over there on the chairs, you're just waiting for the flight to leave. So he's saying, no. It has a problem. It has a problem. It needs, it's energized. Why does it need to be energized? Why is the battery low? Why is the neshama's battery low? Because through no fault of its own, the neshama was not able to do two things. It was not able to accomplish the purpose for which it was created, which is to be mashpia on the guf, because it has to wait for tchias ha'meisim. So that's one thing that drained the battery of the neshama. And the second thing is what its role was is very telling. It's to be mativ, to be like Hashem, and to be mashbia, and to be mativ, and it can't do that either now. So the energy of the neshama is sapped. So in the Olam HaNeshama, says the Ramchal, it's plugged into the base, and based on what its potential is, it didn't do it, but based on its potential, because you can't do mitzvahs now anymore, it's too late. Whatever mitzvahs it did though, so now it's going to ratchet up the energy level of that aura, of that light, while it's waiting. So there is something going on. This is what Chal's describing. There is something going on in the Olam HaNeshamos. It's not just pleasurable and geschmack based on how many mitzvahs it did and based on how much how it overcame the Yetzer Hara and Bechira. It's not just that. It also gets charged up because its koyach was sapped because it wasn't able to do because it's not able to energize the guf. So its koach is sapped and it needs to be refreshed. You have to hit the refresh. It has to be, like you do with a phone. It has to be renewed, re-energized. Why? Just two things. I won't repeat them anymore. So that's a problem, that it didn't accomplish its purpose. And not only didn't it accomplish its purpose, but its purpose specifically was to be mative and to shine onto the guf. At death, the lechta, and it goes al olam hanashamos, hineisham mispashetes umizdaheres bezahareha. So there it burst forth. Whatever light was potentially there, but it wasn't able to accomplish with it in this world. So now it's an Olam HaNeshama, so it bursts free, and all the potential comes oozing out. That's why I say it's charging up, because he uses the word mischazekes, it gets stronger, it gets energized, because when it was in the guf, it was weakened. And now it's more ready to tackle what it's going to do after Tchias HaMeisim. It's more ready because it's okay. I explained the whole picture. It was only potentially, but it had a problem because it was not able to do it. So that saps the koach of the neshama. So now it gets energized. Mizdamenes Yoser. Now it's more ready. L'masharoi shetasa b'zman atchia. Ad shekishetoshev baguf. When it comes back to the guf, it's a tchias amazim b'zman aroi. Tuchal lifol bo. Now it will be able to do it in full force Hapula Hanosalot, based on how good it was during its lifetime, based on how much ore, how much mud it cleaned off from the window by doing mitzvahs and refraining from averus. This is the purifying of the guf that we talked about. So the paragraph here said that don't think that the neshama is just waiting and has nothing to do, but it's actually being energized. It's plugged in, and it's the potential is it's getting a workout to make sure that when the Tchias HaMesim happens, it's able to indeed go full force based on its potential. V'ulam, we're going out of paragraph Yud Gimel. Tzorach Shateida, like, don't go to extremes, he says. But you have to know, Ki Gam Ata, even now, Bikonis HaNeshama B'Gufa Over, even now in this world, when Neshama is in your guf, Avo Bishalo Konso Adayim Shleimus B'Ma'aseha, it didn't reach ultimate Shleimus, because it can't purify the guf, because it can't, after the Chedavah the Marishim, it can't, because the guf has to undergo Misa, and decomposition, and the breaking down of the chomer, and then tchias amesim. He keeps going back and forth. But realize it has nothing to do with the neshama. The neshama is wonderful. The neshama didn't do anything wrong. It's like I told you with the rebbe. He's a fantastic rebbe, and he's ready to shine, and he's ready to do, and he's ready to be mashpia. He didn't have a talmud. Besides, Yekarov is a hara ha'atzmi. Its inherent brightness, if it would only be the right time, then it would really purify the chomer. If it was allowed to do what it has the capability of doing, the person would become a malach. What madrega malach? I don't know. The Rambam counts out 10 madregas of malachim. There's malachim, srofim, ofanim, chayos hakodesh, all sorts of malachim, and to whatever degree this neshama is pure, he would, I don't know if he would be a malach, but he would be like a malach. He would be yotze migeder min anushi, he wouldn't be a human being anymore. He would become, I don't want to say like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was also a human being, but he would be more like a malach. That's what it would be if it was able to. It has all the potential to do that. But unfortunately, Gzeirosa Yizbarach Shemo Kovesha Salsa, the Gzeiros of Hashem, how Odom messed up, is keeping it down, not letting it use its potential, that it was Kona in Olam Hazeh, Uma'alemes Kocha, it's hiding away its Koach. It's very frustrating. It's locked up, tied, locked. Umameta Zahara, and it's not shining, both in Shlomi Moshe Mimenu and Yunze, because it's not shining. It's like, I don't know if it's a good comparison, it's like L'Havdil Hashem, we say it's Hester Ponim. The Neshama is not doing what it could do, so it's not Begalui, it's not clear, it's hidden away. But don't think the problem is the neshama. He wants to make sure you have the whole picture. The problem's not the neshama. I mean, the neshama is whatever it is, however many mitzvahs you did in Olam Hazeh. Avol teishev shama, so it's sitting in the Olam HaNeshamos. Luta ba'atzma. Wrapped up in itself. In other words, like, wrapped up, like Hashem put in a box. It can't shine forth because the goof's not ready. But also Ashir Hamitzdorech, whatever degree it is holding by Lufia Kavano El Yona. Now, avoltashev shama, I'm sorry, it means an olam hazeh even. Avoltashev shama luta ba'atzma, because it can't be poel on the guf now. Bosa shir hamitztarech, lefi akavono hel yonah. So he says, well, poel is b'guf. Again, it's just, all the potential was there. This is why a Talmud Chacham or a Tzaddik or people who are special people, you could really tell. You can tell even their guf is adin. That's what you're seeing a glimmer of. You're seeing a glimmer of spirituality on the guf. Nothing like what it will be after Tchias HaMesim, of course, where the guf will be kulo spiritual. But the adinus, Chachmas Odom Toir Ponov, you say about a Talmud Chacham, or the sweetness and the adinut of a Talmud Chacham, of a tzaddik, is this. It's like the neshama, you know, doing, it's the neshama having some effect on the guf, even though Hashem goes there, it can have the effect that it's going to have, and it can have the effect we want it to have, but it comes from that. That's what he means. Upoelas beguf, but also haseder v'hashir hanirtze mechachmosu yisbarach shemo. It has something. We all know people like that. We know people who are adin, who are like malachim, like we feel we're in the presence of the Shekhinah when we're in their presence. And we don't see their guf as a block to ruchnius. So this is all a pale imitation of what's going to be at the Tchias HaMesim, but he is describing it because he wants you to understand that the neshama is nishuldik, the neshama is not guilty of anything. It's just the situation is it can't do what it's supposed to do. Therefore it gets charged up, and therefore it loses power because it doesn't accomplish its goal, and therefore when it's in the Olam and the Neshamas, it gets charged up. But don't think it's not the Neshama's fault. The Neshama is whatever it is based on the mitzvahs he did in this world, in Olam Hazeh. And you do see some effect on the guf that you could tell, you can tell. I think people can tell that there's something going on. The person's more edel, not so chomor, not so gas, not so caught up with all of hazeh. And you feel like you're in the presence of the Shekhinah, of a malach. Well, different gradations. V'nei kfi ma'aseha atovim she'osev olechas ho'ilo l'spashit v'luzdai k'moshu l'chaynu v'ozhoi magia mimena azikach l'guf. So really it should burst forth in this world, and that's the way it was Kaidim Achet. But Amna Lufi Agzeira Shabiyarnu Lamala, lo you're talking about that. Can't. That's all Nebuch. It can't. That will be Yosef Olam HaNeshamos. It can't shine until it gets into the Olam HaNeshamos. There it gets recharged and shines. I guess it's still not doing its ultimate job of being Mezakech the Gulf because it's waiting for Tchias HaMesim. But at least it's inherent brightness. It's like you clean the window, but it's still the night. So, it gets charged up in the Olam HaNeshamos, and it's ready to go. But now it needs the guf to work with. Omnom b'shuva b'guf achar atchia, when it comes back to the guf after Tchias HaMesim, lo tismait, so it's not going to lose out. Before, when it was in the guf, we said it was sullied and muddied. But when the guf, after Tchias HaMesim, then it'll affect the lotus mite, the lotus alein. It won't disappear, it won't be hidden. Elatikones, it'll go into the guf. This is what he's describing Tchias HaMesim now, when the neshama re-enters the guf. Tikonis b'chol zahareo, with all the impact, with all its wallop, with all its power, with all its sunshine, with all its aur, with all its spirituality, it goes into the guf. V'oz miyat tezakech es haguf ahu zikuch gadol, the guf becomes imbued with spirituality. And look what he says, very, very interesting. We're used to the goof growing in increments. Because physical growth is in increments, right? First you have to learn to crawl, and then you have to learn to walk, and then you have to learn to stand up, whatever, stand up, walk. The goof, right? A person's very... The goof is mitpateach very slowly. So that's not the way it's going to be lost at Lavo. As soon as the neshama goes into the goof, bam! Right? Just like think of Adam HaRishon being created as a... I'll say a 35-year-old man. I don't know. 35, I just made that up. So there, Tchias HaMeisim, the neshama is going to right away be mezakech the goof. Again, everything is... He's talking beautifully, but we are controlling this with what we do in this world. Derech Hashem is not a Musa Sefer. It's Musa if you think about what he's saying and you're realizing that, wait a second, there's a lot at stake here in these few years that I'm in this world. There's a heck of a lot at stake. Like, what am I wasting my time for? That's the Musa, but it's all between the lines. This is a spiritual biology book, or maybe spiritual physics. He's explaining the physics of the neshama, of the guf, of tchias hameisim, and he's explaining it very, very analytically, where the neshama can't shine, but it's not the neshama's fault, it has nowhere to shine, but it's a problem, so it loses power, so it gets recharged. I'm trying to depict it in a way that we could understand what he's saying. But he's describing real things. Ramchal is describing real things. And, you know, we can learn from it. Well, you know, you walk away saying, wow, the neshama, through no fault of his own, is not able to do what it's supposed to do. And look, it needs to be recharged. The power went down. Anyway, when the neshama goes back into the guf after tchias hameisim, boom! El miyad b'shaite torah bo, umiyad tzakecheu zikuch gadol. Now he says something that I do not understand. I didn't have time to delve into it. Because we're used to the idea that you don't grow anymore. After death and the tchias hameisim, you don't grow. You are what you are. But he says, it's not, lo yimnaze means it's not out of the question. It's not, come on, I'm not getting the word. Yimna, it's not it's not out of the question. It's not refrained. It's not blocked. Sheyiyah leguf uneshama yachad iluyim achar iluyim. Now, you could say, this is what children do for parents. Someone does something, Ilui Nishmaso. But he's talking already after Tchias HaMeisim. So I don't know then if there's anything that anybody can do for you. So, I don't know. The only thing I can think of, but I have no basis to say it, is that if a person is growth-oriented... I really have no basis to say that. If a person is growth oriented, then that becomes part of his neshama, and he will continue to grow, even if it's Tchias HaMeisim. I'm speculating. If he has been kona that midah of growth, I don't know what he means. I have to really look in Svarim. There are Svarim on Ramchal that I didn't have a chance to look at. In the first burst of purity, he's going to get all the light that was created by his life, what he did in his lifetime. And then again, he says, "Va'achakach yisalu shneihem." They will both, the guf and the neshama, will be uplifted, will grow. Iluyim achar iluyim kifimasha ro'ui Lemi shehu b'madrego hahi. I don't know. The only thing I can think of is what I said, that you're on a madrego of growth. If that was part of your life, you were growth oriented, so that will continue. You will have that. You will have that quality even afterwards. It's a very big chiddush. I really have to.
What about schus avos?
He's after everything. He's after tchias ha-meisim. Schus avos can give shine to your neshama, maybe. Schus bonim can give shine to your neshama, maybe. We don't know. Maybe you'll come back. I was waiting for you to ask about coming back in a Gilgal. What's that? I don't know. There's a lot of things. Again, this is Ramchal. This is basic biology. This is biology 101.